Driven by Briggs Auto Lane and BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Here we go!
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. Today on the show, we will be joined in hour two by Rob Cassidy of Rivals.com. Used to be at GoPowerCat.com. Wrote a very good piece on the Big 12 struggles in recruiting and on the football field as it translates. Want to ask him about that in the early signing period, which Bill Snyder does not like. We'll go inside the fort at 4:50. A lot of K-State news and notes to cover as well today. We owe an apology to Eric Skoglund. Skoglund, who was awesome last night for the Royals. But we'll open up here with a very jarring string of tweets from former K-State wide receiver Corey Sutton that has created some conversation. As always, if you want to tweet the show, the game KMAN is where you can direct questions or comments. You can also tweet myself, JL Kurtz, at Tyler Dreiling for him, or Mitch the Fort. You can call the show as well, 537-1350, or toll-free 866-776-1350. Well, this came up just recently. Within the last couple of hours, I was drawn to Corey Sutton's Twitter account. Now, Corey Sutton has been a wide receiver here at K-State for the past year, played some last year, had a couple nice spring games, including this past spring game, really did perform pretty well, but opted to transfer, and he announced that on social media handful of weeks ago, maybe a month ago.
Exactly 4 weeks ago.
Okay, there you go. So we knew that he was going to leave, and at the time, it was pretty easy to see why. There's just a logjam right now at wide receiver. There are a lot of receivers in front of Corey Sutton. That made sense. Now, apparently, there is an issue on his end. He has taken issue with not being granted a release, at least in a timely enough fashion for him, and he has taken to Twitter to voice his displeasure with that, and it's not just that he tweeted that. I think it's much more the language of some of this, and you'll understand here in just a moment. So it's a string of three straight tweets, back to back to back. First off, this is Corey Sutton's words right here from 2 hours ago. Can you stop being a slave master and give me my release? With a couple 100 emojis. Then he backed that up with, y'all have no idea, student athletes stay too quiet, covering everyone's tail. And then finally, I worked way, way, way too hard for this to let a man stop me. Another 100 emoji, just in case you're wondering about the emoji. But the slave master comment there is what ratchets this up another notch. You know what I mean? Even if it was Corey Sutton complaining on Twitter about wanting a release, I'm not sure that we would be interested enough to really pursue it, talk about it a whole lot. But when you start dropping that in there, that is going to create more of a firestorm, create more attention surrounding this, which I would imagine was the goal here of Corey Sutton. But before we go too much further in all this, that's the information. And we don't have the full scope of this story. We don't have the other side of the story. Don't even really know everything from Corey Sutton's standpoint. So I will say, first and foremost, it's hard to do too much with this right now just because we don't have all the information exactly on what's going on here. So it becomes more difficult to talk about this, but I do think there are a couple things, a couple observations that you can make based on this.
And one of them is that this is a situation that K-State has been through before in recent memory. Now, it was with a different regime in terms of who was athletic director. You know, John Curry was wrapped up in it pretty heavily when the Letty Romero situation took place a few years ago, the women's basketball player that wanted to leave K-State after Deb Patterson was let go. And that's got a lot more national attention than it probably needed. I think that you could say that the school did not handle that very well. You had John Curry going on Outside the Lines to talk about this. You had Jay Billis kind of being the grand marshal of the Free Letty Romero parade, and all of his outlets and everything like that created or put a lot more of a spotlight on it than was necessary. So for K-State fans, this has to feel very familiar, and you would hope that that the school, regardless of what is actually happening here or what the details are that we don't know yet, the school will be able to jump out in front of this better than they did last time and not let it become a huge national story.
Well, yeah, and I hesitate to even start going down that road, comparing the two. Does this become that? I mean, It's just three tweets right now. It's been liked by 11 people. It's been retweeted by five. Like, this is not ballooned anywhere near to what the Letty Romero situation was. I would say, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that the motivation here for Corey Sutton is once you put it out there on social media, it does then become public, and that puts some more pressure on the opposite side of it to decide what they are going to do here. It has put the ball was already apparently in K-State's court on the release. Now the ball is definitely in their court even more with coming up with some kind of response to this. That's Corey Sutton's, I would have to think, main motivation for doing this. But again, don't know what K-State's side of the story is here on the timing of the release. Don't even know when he says, can you stop being a slave master and give me my release, if that's supposed to be Coach Snyder, if that's supposed to be a different coach, if that's supposed to be the athletic director, Gene Taylor, which I would have a hard time believing, just speculating, because he hasn't been here for very long. He wasn't here to watch Corey Sutton or get too acclimated with what the situation has been. But as you indicated, in that Letty Romero saga, it was about John Curry. The athletic director had the final say there. So I hate to go too much further with all that other than just saying, if anything else comes to light on social media or whatever, we'll let you know. But for right now, this seems to be a fluid situation, and we don't have any further details. Hard to say a whole lot. So that goes from being not very lighthearted to now more lighthearted here in the open, because yesterday we were not very kind to Eric Skoglund, the Royals starting pitcher, who is the number three prospect in the organization and made his major league debut last night. He winds up making us look silly. At least me. I say us. I'm sorry for lumping you guys into this thing. It was me. I was making fun of his name and the fact that I couldn't pronounce it, making light of the whole situation that he's the guy that, you know, is stepping in after we get the Danny Duffy injury news. He just goes 6 1/3 scoreless and outduels Justin Verlander. No big deal. Last night in his major league debut. So in case you were not listening yesterday, were not aware, here is, just how silly we were yesterday about Eric Skoglund. The Nathan Carnes, Eric Skoglund. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Jake Junis. I know Skoglund's a high prospect in the organization.
Rustin Dodd from the Kansas City Star just literally tweeted out that it's Eric Skoglund. Eric Skoglund.
That's a good drop in. Dynamite drop in, Mitch.
I forgot that Mitch was here today.
I already forgot. Skoglund? Say Skoglund?
Skoglund.
Skoglund.
Skoglund. Skoglund. I'm going to need a mnemonic device really quick or I'm going to forget that.
That was a great usage of Yakety Sax right there.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome for that. I always like to work in Yakety Sax whenever I can.
We need a lot more of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that I'm guilty too, because I may not have made fun of him on the air, but I know what I did last night, which was paint my new bedroom in the house that I'm moving to, and I did not even know what happened in the Royals game until about an hour after it was over. I log on to Twitter, and I see the GIF of him doing the hat tip to the crowd, and I'm like, oh, man, this must have been something pretty cool, and then I go back and find out about it after the fact. But, yeah, cool moment for the rookie. I hope he can keep it up.
So you did then disrespect.
Yeah, I didn't pay any attention to the game.
You didn't pay attention to it. Mitch, did you find a way to disrespect Royals rookie starter making his MLB debut last night, Eric Skoglund?
Nope.
Did you watch the game?
I watched some of it.
Okay.
Did you watch the game?
Remember how to pronounce his name?
Yes. I had to talk about him the morning before.
That's right.
So I found out that morning.
That's right. All right. Well, Mitch, you were the only one. You were the only one that does not look foolish here today. You know, baseball is a sport that we poke fun at. Maybe poke fun at's the wrong word, but point out the flaws of baseball, and it's losing younger generations, the younger audience. It's become completely regionalized where nobody really cares much at all about the national picture. You just care about your team if you are in and around a major league team market. But moments like the hat tip as he's coming off the field last night, waving the cap to the crowd, looking up at his parents, pointing out his parents, that is fairly uniquely baseball and a great, great moment. That was just such a, if you could embody why people love baseball, why it is America's pastime, why there is such a hardcore following by those who do love baseball, why they're so into it is because of moments like that. That was just awesome.
Yeah, you get a few times every football season where you'll have a moment that's kind of like that. I'm reminded of last year in the Chiefs season when Eric Berry had the pick six or whatever, and he took the ball to his mom in the first row of the stands, and, you know, Eric Berry with his cancer history. Like, that was really cool, and that was cut along the same cloth. But that's about it. And in baseball, you see this probably every, you know, 2 to 3 weeks with teams that aren't playing very well. They have to call up new guys that have never gotten a shot before, and that was really neat to – unfortunately not seeing it live, but just seeing the replay of that. And it gives you a little shot in the arm as a Royals fan, because we know what's probably going to happen here in the next 6 weeks. And you want to see the youth because you want to feel optimistic about the Royals getting back on their feet within the next couple of seasons. And if that's going to happen, Eric Skoglund's probably going to be part of that. So it feels good to see that kind of thing.
I won't take it far enough to say, hey, look, the Royals have a big solution here. I don't think we need to go that route. It's along the same lines of what I feel like when we see a tremendous performance, perhaps in like a playoff game, everybody immediately wants to go, was that the greatest playoff performance of all time? I don't want to make the jump to, all right, is Eric Skoglund going to be a starter in the rotation for the rest of the year? Will he be the answer to the Royals' problems? You know, we can set all that aside and just wait and see what happens and just live in the moment here, appreciate the moment that it was great to see him do that to help the Royals win a game, by the way, 1-0, that if they didn't get an incredible pitching performance, they were not going to win, and just appreciate the uniqueness of a guy doing that in his debut and having the family there to watch it. And I thought going above and beyond what you typically see out of baseball, you know, the real decorum there, if you want to follow all these unwritten rules of baseball, would be to walk to the dugout, and then as the fans still cheer, come out for like the curtain call hat tip. But he was more emphatic than that, and I loved it. I thought that was great. And Ryan Lefebvre even made the comment when they came back the next inning, you know, hey, that may be too much for some if you're a really old-school baseball fan, but I think we should all take a step back and say, you know, we could use more of that in baseball and just really embracing the moment. And I thought, especially for a guy making his debut, that was the more appropriate way to handle the crowd's reaction to him walking off the mound.
Baseball has arbitrary statistics for everything. And, of course, last night when I'm looking further into what he accomplished, I see that he was the first MLB starter to win 1-0 in his debut since 2004. So it's been 13 years since that's happened.
Well, I know his name now, Eric Skoglund. If nothing else, he accomplished making a Jabroni Radio host here in Manhattan learn his name with 6 1/3 scoreless from last night. Rob Cassidy is going to join us in hour two. Former GoPowerCat.com-er, now with Rivals.com, covers recruiting in the southeastern portion of the United States. But we're going to talk to him about an article he wrote about the Big 12's perception problem on the recruiting trail, plus the new early signing period in college football. When we come back, though, a lot of news and notes out of the K-State sports world today, including Elijah Lee signing with the Vikings. Just how much is he going to be able to help his family? We'll give you the contract details when we come back here on the game.